We're going to go to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, reading from the 13th to the 14th verse. And when you have it, would you say amen? Would you type in amen if you have it? And the word of the Lord says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." I'm on verse 14, and it says, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's very personal, and he says, "I press toward the mark." He's not saying we, he's not saying you need to do it, but he says, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I wonder if you would just lift your voices right where you are as a family, as an RT family, all across the 805, all across those that are watching in the Central Valley, Nevada, the Bay Area. Just lift your voices right now. Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, your kindness, your guidance, your hand of protection on us, God, all that you're doing in this season, God, how you've entrusted us for this time, God. We pray that you would help us to remember that, Lord, you have all things under control, and we look to you always, God, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought: finish the race. Amen. Finish the race. The Apostle Paul, in this prison epistle that we would know, he's writing to the members of the church in Philippi. Thus, it's called the Philippians, or the believers of Philippi, or the Philippians. And he's writing this. This is one of the four prison epistles. Colossians is one. Philemon is the other. Ephesians and Philippians. And the Apostle Paul was the original quarantine preacher. He was the original quarantine preacher. Whether he was on quarantine or isolation, whatever, however way, he used his time wisely, and I'm thankful for that. But Philippi was a small Roman colony in the province of Macedonia or northern Greece. It was a part there that Paul had went and visited. And we know that in Scripture, in Acts chapter 16 and 12, we have some understanding. It tells us, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days." And so Philippi, this is awesome, was one of the first areas of Europe to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul, notice this, Paul did not just pretend to be a spirit-filled individual, but he was spirit-led. And the Lord, through his supernatural guidance in a dream to the Apostle Paul, sent the Apostle Paul to Macedonia. Now, this is what we would refer to as the Macedonian call, but notice in Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, and it says, "And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us." Notice this, in verse 10 tells us, "And after he had seen the vision, he waited a couple days to go into," he went immediately to Macedonia. Notice this, "assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And then we read later on that the birth of the Philippians church, or the birth of what we would understand the church in Philippi, you could read this in Acts chapter 16. It's quite a lengthy chapter, Acts 16, but we see this in Acts 16 and 14, where they get to the Philippi, and we see where they come into contact with a certain woman in Acts 16 and 14. And it says that a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul. And notice what the scripture says. She was baptized and her household, And then she constrained the Apostle Paul to stay there. And so the church in Philippi was started by a woman, or the first convert was by a woman and her household that were baptized by the Apostle Paul. And there they had revival, and the Apostle Paul faced some opposition. Now, anytime that you're dealing with revival, and anytime you're dealing with growth or people receiving the Holy Ghost, and in this case, people being baptized and a new church being started, you're going to face some type of opposition. And we see this take place with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16. Right around verse 16, you see where the lady with divination her owners, the men that were making money off of her spiritual wickedness, had gotten Paul and Silas and threw them into prison. And we see in Acts chapter 16 and 25 that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, I want to make a point here this evening is that whenever you are faced with opposition, whenever you are faced with spiritual strongholds or any kind of spiritual adversity, you need to do what we know to do, and we need to pray and sing praises unto God. It didn't say that they cried and they whined and they boo-hooed and they got on social media and told everybody about everything that they were going through. There's enough people doing that. You don't need to do that. There's enough people doing that for all of us. You don't need to jump on that bandwagon. But if you're ever faced with any kind of spiritual adversity, you're faced with any kind of spiritual opposition, you need to go back and you need to pray and you need to sing praises unto God. And don't matter who hears you, let them hear you. Let them see that I still got my praise, I still got my prayer, I still got my dance, I still got my shout, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the tearing down of strongholds. I still got the Bible, and I'm going to do what the Scripture says, and I'm going to praise and worship and pray until the heavens open up and God begins to do some mighty things again. Somebody say amen. And because they didn't go cry and hide in a corner, they had revival in prison. And the Philippian jailer, we read in Acts 16 and 30, that there was a conversion of the Philippian jailer. And notice Acts 16 and 30. And he was about to take his own life, but I'm getting right to this tonight because I got somewhere I want to go with this. And the Philippian jailer was about to take his own life because the foundations of the prison shook because of the prayers and the worship of the Apostle Paul and Silas. And he begins to, Paul talks to him and says, hey, we're all here. Everything's okay. It's all good. We're here. And he comes and he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household. And he spake the word of the Lord unto him in verse 32. And this man, the prison guard, took him to his own house, and he begins to wash their stripes, we see in verse 33. And he and his family, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And I lay this foundation here tonight to remind us that the Lord has been good to his church. He's been good to his people. That even in the midst of spiritual adversity, even in the midst of spiritual opposition through trials and tests and tribulation, the Lord has been good to his people. He's been good to his church. That's why the psalmist tells us, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. That's why I come up here tonight to remind us, to tell us that it's time to finish the race. It's not time to get off the racetrack and sit in the bleachers and say, well, I'm going to see how this plays out. No, the devil is a liar. It's time for us to finish what God has called us to do. We don't need to contemplate quitting. get off the racetrack and spectate and say, well, I'm just going to stand right here and see what happens. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The trump of the Lord's going to sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with the Lord. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're in that season. It may not be the day, it may not be the hour, but we're in that season, and I'm more excited today about serving God and having revival than I ever have and in my entire life, because I'm seeing things take place right before our eyes. You got to finish the race. Amen. The finishing of the race might not end like you desire it to end. Romans 13 and 11 tells us, and that knowing this, the time, that it is now, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. All the sleepies say, amen. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Things may not come to fruition like you would anticipate them to. But you got to finish your spiritual journey towards heaven.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, know ye not that they that which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Some of us have got to do more running than walking, because it says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's time for some of us to quit walking and to start running. It's time for some of us to stop sitting and start walking, and then you'll start running. It's time for some of you to get up and to start praising God again and to finish what you started. You've worked too hard. God has been too good to you for you to stop and go sit in the bleachers and say, I'm going to see how this turns out. Let me tell you how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out the way God intends it to turn out. Consider this. Paul, even though he faced all that he did not allow that arrest and being in prison hinder him from ministering or sharing the gospel, either in writing or speaking or by the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He's writing this prison epistle, which we have today, which I'm preaching, teaching from tonight. He's writing it in Rome while he's in prison around AD 61. Now, AD 61 doesn't mean a whole lot to us here today, but the reason why I give you that date is because he's martyred in Rome around 64 or 65 AD. So he, towards the end of his life and spiritual journey here on earth, He didn't slow down or retire. He didn't say, well, I've done my duties. I've started churches. I've got sons in the gospel. I've written all these books. But rather, he pressed on, and he began to write this epistle. And this epistle is much different than the other writings of Paul, because he's not addressing any church issues or any conflict or any crisis of relationship with the Lord or any crisis in the church, but he, as he did in Galatians or in Corinthians, but instead he's writing this epistle as an appreciation and affection to the believers. He's thanking them. It's a book of encouragement. He's writing and he's encouraging the saints of Philippi, and he's encouraging the saints of Revival Tabernacle, Santa Maria, and he's encouraging us to finish the race. He's encouraging us to not quit, to not become apathetic or spiritually lazy, or to slow down, or to even stop. But he's calling us, and he's challenging, and he's encouraging us. He's saying, press toward the high calling of God. He uses that word press, and when you see that word press, it means to follow after or to pursue. It's what we would understand to chase when we're chasing after somebody. Some of you were pursuing your honey, and then you stop pursuing her. You don't send her flowers anymore. Yeah, what's wrong with you? I guess I got to go get flowers tomorrow too. Now myself, but pursuing, and I like it when Paul tells us in Philippians 3:7. But those things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The things of this world, here, Pastor, the concepts, the perceptions, the ideologies, the standards in which the world or carnality or the humanistic lifestyle and mindset are for, a humanistic, carnal, worldly mindset. That's what it's for. But John 15:19 tells us, Jesus says, but you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world. Nothing that we do for the kingdom of God is wasted. There's not even a cup of water that we give in the name of the Lord that goes wasted. And if you stop living for God now, the church will still move forward without you. I know that's going to surprise some of you. It may hurt your feelings, but trials and tribulations, let me remind you, are not trouble that comes your way to be a pitfall or a stumbling block to you, but they're meant to stretch us. They're meant to equip us, to test us, so that we can grow spiritually. If you quit now, listen to Pastor, if you quit living for God now, biblical prophecy is still going to take place. But the sad thing is you'll be on the other side of biblical prophecy. If you get off the spiritual racetrack now and go sit in the bleachers and spectate, the race is still going to continue. The baton has been passed to this generation, the rapture generation, the end of the age generation, the revival generation. So finish the race. Yield yourself to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit and trust in the Lord. Amen. Brother Drozik on Sunday at the 9 o'clock service, he hammered down on something. He says, do we really trust the Lord? And if we do, then we need to trust Him with everything we've got. Yeah. And I would add to that, we've got to trust the Lord, and we got to make sure we're trusting His Word.
Right.
And we're not drinking. I've said this before, but that we're not drinking by the gallons, the Kool-Aid of this world, and yet neglecting the bread of life that's right before us. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Life is a race.
Amen.
It's fast, painful at times, rewarding at times. It goes by before you know it. You can be distracted and you can be distracted. You can be confused and distracted in one moment and have obligations the next moment and commitment. But the Lord has brought us out.
Amen.
Of the pit of despair. He's brought so many of you out of the mud of sin.
Yeah.
He brought us to this point today. He's kept us.
Amen.
Through it all.
Amen.
The chaos of crisis. The entanglement of our poor decisions. The miry clay. He brought us out of the miry clay. Can I get a witness tonight that He didn't just bring me out? But the psalmist says He also brought me out of a horrible pit. And He set my feet upon a rock. And He established my goings. Notice what it said, Psalm 40:3. And then He put a new song, as if bringing me out and establish my goings wasn't enough. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So many people have seen and heard about your struggle. They've seen about your struggle. They've seen when you were incarcerated. They see and they know about your past. They've seen your sins and they've seen your trial. They've seen your sickness. They've seen you sick and in bed and having to go to the doctors. They've seen that. They understand that you got a criminal record. They know about your divorce, your bankruptcy, your addiction. They understand that. They see it. But saints of God, we can't forget. That's who we were. That's who we used to be. We're not that anymore. And I'm going to finish this race that he started with me. I'm going to finish it. And now they're going to see and they're going to hear about my praise. And they're going to see the God that heals. As scripture said, who healeth all thine iniquities. And he forgiveth, or he healed all thy disease and forgiveth all thine iniquities. They used to see how you were not dependable, but now they see that you're faithful. They used to see a proud look, but now they see a person of humility. They used to see you cuss, but now they see you praise the name of the Lord. They used to see you depressed, but now you got a song that the angels cannot sing. You got a song in your heart, and you're singing again, and you're rejoicing again. Somebody's got to finish the race. Somebody's got to testify of the goodness of the Lord. That's reason enough for you to finish the race. Paul encourages us, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started a good work in me. And I'm going to help him finish it. He forgave me when I couldn't even forgive myself. He set me free when I tried, when you tried, and they tried to get you to sign up for every class and every 12-step program and go through every rehab. He set you free. Just one night of prayer, one day at the altar, when you were baptized in Jesus' name, like Sister Monica was on Sunday, life is changed. He's delivered us. He's blessed you again and again. Bendiciones otra vez. He keeps blessing you, and he's equipped you and I to finish the race. Paul tells us, forgetting those things which are behind. Forget about the past. Don't live in the past. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday's come and gone. We have learned so much in 18 months. So much. We've learned a lot of good. Thank the Lord we've learned. We call whatever you want to call this that we're going through, this season that we're in, phase three, phase four. The Lord has with us back in March 15th, and he's still with us tonight. And almost, what is it, August 12th? He's with us, August, he's with us tonight. He's equipped us. He brought us to this point. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed, and Sunday's not on the calendar. James tells us, James 4, I believe it is. He says, what do you know on the morrow? For what is your life? Even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. There's a lot of things that I'd like to erase in my past. But what God is doing right now is far greater than what's took place in the past. Because he's doing a new thing. There's never been a day like today. There's never been a time like today. There's never been an opportunity like today. There's never been a season like today. If the apostles could live and have what we have today, my goodness, they would be going crazy. They say, wow, you get to preach to people all over the world and leave it up there, and they get to go back and listen to it over. Yes, we do, Brother Paul, and we're going to forget about those things that are behind, and we're going to press toward the mark of those things which are before, and we're pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's our duty to move on.
Amen.
We're not supposed to get entangled with the affairs of this world.
That's right.
Not supposed to hold on to who forgot about you, who hurt you, who offended you, what you lost or gained. We need to press on. We don't need to veer off a course. If anything, some of you need a course correction. You need to go back and GPS towards heaven.
Amen.
Get back on the right racetrack. And the scripture tells us in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God.
Yes.
I like it in Colossians where it tells us, set your affections on things above, not on things below. Paul's focus was solely on the prize that God would give rather than the possessions and the perceptions of this world. Hear, Pastor, tonight. Hear me. A distinct mark of spiritual maturity is when God's people are in a wholehearted pursuit of the Lord and not being distracted by what the world has to offer.
Exactly.
When you're pursuing heaven and determined to finish the race, you're focused on Jesus. You're not easily offended.
Right.
You're not living in fear. You will look for ways to please the Lord, because you're wanting to finish the race.
Amen.
Some folks finish slow, but they finish.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
They're hobbling,
yeah,
but they finish.
Yeah.
They may be in pain and agony, but they finish. When you're serious, notice this, when you're serious about getting to heaven, the things of this world don't matter as much. 1 Corinthians 9 and 26 says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. I'm not running, not knowing where I'm running towards.
Right.
I may not know what is going to be in my path, but I know the direction of where I'm going. So you keep running to the arms of Jesus. When you're serious about getting to heaven, you're spiritually motivated, and hear this, and you're engaged regardless of how we're having church or where we're having church.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Think about this. I want to appreciate Revival Tabernacle tonight. That you have not abandoned your engagement and your faithfulness to the Lord or your church. This thank you so much that your faithfulness in church attendance and engagement and worship and in your giving. Thank you for that. This past week, this last week we just came out of, including Sunday, was tremendous. It was a tremendous testimony of God's favor and your faithfulness to the things of God. Just amazing what God, filling people with the Holy Ghost, people getting baptized, the people that were healed here just a week ago. We were able to take part in communion as a church. And we talked a lot about some things that are taking place right now. The Lord gave pastors some insight to prepare us ahead of time. And we were able to bless our kids on Sunday. The envelope offer. We were able to go and have, not only have gazebo church, but have some tacos.
Amen.
We had the church picnic. We had a wonderful revival. People were delivered.
Amen.
And we're positioned now for the next phase to move forward. To God be the glory. We're going to finish, God, what you started in us as individuals and as a church collectively. We are going to finish.
Amen.
The musicians would come. The year was 1992. Barcelona, Spain. Mm-hmm. Olympics. There was a runner by the name of Derek who was representing England in the 400-meter race. He wasn't just a participant or a competitor, but he had a good chance of winning the gold medal. He practiced, he prepared, he worked out. He obviously, just qualifying to represent your country in the Olympics is a tremendous accomplishment in itself. You know that, in fact, the Olympics was or is going on right now, and it's every 4 years. And so he had begun to prepare himself. And as the runners that were representing their country begin to step out, and they begin to get in position to run, they got on their starting blocks, and the race had began. And this man, Derek, begins to run, and he's running. And he's doing pretty good when he pulled his hamstring. In fact, he just didn't pull it, but he tore his hamstring. And in pain and in agony, in front of I would guess tens of thousands of people, or maybe thousands of people watching, representing his country, a moment that he had prepared for, maybe no doubt. His entire life was going to be, his entire running experience was going to be summed up in what would take place. And the runners go by him as he falls to the ground, and they finish the race. And he waits a few moments, and with perseverance and with fortitude, and I would guess pride, once he gets up and he's determined to finish the race that he had started, when he's hopping on his leg, and he's the officials and the event staff tried to come and console him. They're trying to get him off the track. You can after church YouTube this and find it for yourself. They no doubt have good intentions, and they're wanting to give him medical attention but he's staying on the track, and he's hopping along, obviously in pain and in agony. When out of the stands comes this man, and it's his father, and his father comes running to him, and he bypasses security, and his father consoles him, and it is said that his father tells him, "Derek, you don't have to do this." And Derek's response was, "I didn't come all this way to not finish." And as we stand tonight, he hobbles, leaning on his father, as his father is holding him. And they are not running and not sprinting to the finish line, but they are walking together as Derek is in pain and his father is holding him and consoling him. He got to the finish line, and he finished the race that he started. I want to remind somebody here today that you may have had some bumps and bruises and some contemplations about quitting and giving up and stopping and going to sit in the bleachers to see how things play out. But the scripture is very clear about tonight is that we have to run, and we've got to pursue the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. We cannot quit. We cannot give up, but you've got to finish this race that God has called us to finish. You may have been talked about. You may have had people ask you, "Why do you serve the Lord the way you serve the Lord?" We see and hear all that's taken place. maybe it's easier to stay down, to go sit in the bleachers, to quit being a giver, to quit being a worshiper, to quit being a praiser, to quit being faithful. But God did not call us to any of those things. But He called us to be faithful. He tells us to not get entangled with the affairs of this world, but to finish the race. The prophetic has been promised to us over and over and over, and reiterated to us over the last 60 days. We're going to go to heaven together.
Amen.
We're going to see the prodigals, which we saw already on Sunday, here in the altar, praying through. Two of them that I was told that so far gone that I didn't know who they were, but the Lord knew. The Lord sent them, brought them home. Dry bones revival taking place at Revival Tabernacle. And I close with this. Paul writes in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Be encouraged, RT. Finish the race that the Lord has called us to finish. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voices? Come on. They're at home. Begin to talk to the Lord, that the Lord would help you. Finish the race.